Welcome to Betting 360, your number one source for horse racing and sports betting insights. Coming around the bend is your host, David Duffield, with another expert interview to give you the winning edge.
Hi, this is David Duffield, and welcome to another episode of the Betting 360 podcast. This week I've got a couple of guys lined up to chat to about the Golden Slipper. Obviously, it's the race everyone's talking about for this Saturday. So I've got Dean, the trial spy, and also Nathan Snow, two Sydney-based pro punters, to have a bit of a chat about the field, the two standout favourites, and whether there might be some value outside of those. So let's have a chat to Dean firstly, and then Nathan. Hi Brian, Dave here, and I've got Dean back on the line to talk about the Golden Slipper for 2015. How are you, Dean?
Great, mate. How are you going?
Really good, thanks. And I wanted to run through a bit about the history of the Slipper and obviously the field for this year, the speed map, and also some value bets potentially. So firstly, the barrier draw. You've done some analysis on that.
Yeah, there were 58 runnings of the Slipper. The most prolific winning barrier is barrier one with 9 wins. Maybe sort of a couple of them into groups of four. Barriers 1 to 4 have won 22, 5 to 8 have won 16, 9 to 12 have won 14, and 13 to 16 have won 6. And obviously the key point there, I guess, is Vancouver, who looks like he's going to come into 15 after the scratchings, but only two horses have won with barriers 15 or 16 and 58 runnings. So, he's got history against them there.
All right. And what about in recent times, not just the barrier draw, but you've done some work on where the winners have come from in the run?
An 04 Dance Hero from gate 2 led all the way on the rail. An 05 Stratum from gate 6 led all the way on the rail. An 06 Miss Finland came from gate 7, was sort of well back, but hugged the rail. And an 07 Forensics came from gate 1, but sat fourth on the rail. An 08 Sebring from gate 5 settled well back, but hugged the rail. An 09 Feeling Ready from gate 16 dropped right back to last, but hugged the rail. In 2010, Crystal Lily from gate 1 was third on the rail. In 11, Seaboy from gate 8 was third on the rail. 2012, Piero from gate 1 hugged the rail. 2013, Overreach from gate 11 was third on the rail. And 2014, Moss Fun missed the start and hugged the rail the whole way to win. So you can see an old pattern there of recent looking winners over the last 10 or 11 years that you want to be on the fence.
All right. And so how do you think it'll pan out this year? What does the speed map look like so far?
Well, I think Haptic leads from barrier 3. It looks like Furnace is sort of tucks in and gets a lovely trail directly behind from gate 1. Haybar, the Hayes horse, is drawn 2, so, it'll also probably get a nice run, but I'd say we'll take a sit. And, it then comes down to the tactics of the riders out wide. The three sort of key pace horses drawn out wide from a speed perspective are Headwater from gate 11, Speak Fondly from gate 12, and then Vancouver from gate 18. It's really going to have to come down to how they jump. The Headwater led in the Silver Slipper, but then couldn't cross them in a five-horse race in the Todman and got caught three wide outside Furnaces in Vancouver. So, whether he's going to be able to get across in the race will be interesting. I speak fondly led last start, but can take a sit, so Oliver might try and get across and see if he can slot in. And Vancouver can jump well, but has also shown the propensity to miss the kick. So, where he ends up, obviously, from barrier 18 is going to go a long way to determining his fate. But, you've got some speed there with Haptic and Furnace is sort of the ones guaranteed to get lovely runs. And then the question is where that speed comes from out wide and at what pace.
All right, so you talked about Vancouver there, and obviously there's been a fair spruik on the horse for quite a while now. With the form that it's in and obviously the map, as you've just spoken about there, would you want to be backing or laying it around the $3?
Oh, well, Vancouver was the best trialer out of the first set of two-year-old trials on September 22. He won over 840 at Kensington in 49.12, which was the clear quickest of the 10 trials on the day and about four lengths above the average, which is why we backed him to win the Breeders' Plate. And now he's continued to develop, winning the Canterbury and then the Todman in super quick time. That's sort of the $3 at the moment. That's not really an appealing price, despite being the best horse in the race, just with where he's going to go. And, there's a lot that depends on whether he can jump as well as he can. And if he can, he could potentially get across outside the leader, and get a really nice run. if he misses the kick, you know, then certainly when you look at the past history of slipper winners, he's going to have to do a big job from there.
And what about Exosphere? Obviously, the price gap between those two is narrowed a bit after the barrier draw at the current price, you know, $4 or so. Would you want to be on him or against him?
Yeah, you know, Exosphere hadn't run time in the trials, but, you know, he had trialled easily, sort of under no pressure, so it looked good. But, you know, he's proven the time to run times in his two wins. You know, he walloped a horse called Mogador twice, who I believe will actually develop into a very nice three-year-old. And, you know, Mogador ran second at Kembla to Exosphere and take down round third, who then won the Black Opal. So obviously strong form there. And then he went on and repeated it with a very strong win, you know, in the Skyline. So both Vancouver and Exosphere are outstanding two-year-olds, but the query with those two horses sort of is the map when you look at those last sort of 11 runnings of the slipper and the fact that every horse found the fence during the race. It's either going to take an outstanding ride or an incredible run to win, both of which are absolutely possible because the horses and the jockeys have the ability, but, you know, I don't think they're going to get it easy. And, you know, I'm looking for a strategy of the race. It might be a case of potentially backing Summit Value and maybe saving on those two favourites.
All right, so you mentioned there might be some value outside of those two. Have you got a couple of runners in mind?
Yeah, I think in terms of value, the three runners I like at big odds are Haptic at $17. Now, he hasn't been headed in two trials and two races, has done nothing wrong to date, and should lead here. Won a Jan 6 900 metre Rose Hill trial and 53.2, which was the clear quickest of the day, and around 4.5 lengths above the average. And, you know, his two wins, he's just done really nothing wrong in winning, particularly the long road play last start, which did look a solid form race beating Furnaces. You know, the only issue I think is that it is very difficult to lead and win a slipper, particularly with 35 days off, and that's the query with Haptic, but I think he's a very talented and underrated horse. English at $17 is another who is undefeated in two trials and two races. She won a Randall at Jan 15, 740-metre trial in 43.72, which was the quickest of nine trials on the day, three lengths above the average, and then won a Randall at Feb 23, 734-metre trial in 43.32, which was the quickest of seven trials and four lengths quicker than Vancouver. And, you know, she won at Kembla. She then won the Riedling impressively, and she fits the profile of the horse that could be slow away, as she has been in her two races. Could be slow away, find the rail and charge home off a hot pace, a la the likes of Miss Finland, Sebring, Zealand Ready, and Mossman. And then the last one was Lake Geneva, who's also $17. And it was the other standout at the first two-year-old trials of the season on September 22 against alongside Vancouver. She ran 49.56, which was third quickest of the 10 trials, but was out very wide throughout the trial, had no luck on debut when was caught wide and just beaten in the wooden, and then ran an excellent third in the Blue Diamond at her second start. And, you know, Hawks won the slipper last year for us with Moss won. And again, you know, Lake Geneva profiles like English as a horse who could settle off the pace on the rail and charge home along the inside to score.
All right, so just overall as a betting race, obviously it's a high-profile race and there's a long lead-up to it and plenty of publicity, but as an actual betting race, is it one that really excites you this year?
It's a tricky one because, you know, the two obvious horses have the draws and the questionable maps, but then you've got some talented horses there that are really good value, I think, in the likes of Haptic, English and Lake Geneva. So, you know, I do think it's a race that we'll be playing in with the value and possibly throwing in some exotics, you know, because you've got the likes of Vancouver and Exosphere, who on ability are clearly going to be there. But, you know, I do think there's, you know, definitely scope for it to be a reasonable betting race because favourites are going to have to put in, you know, really substantial superstar runs to win, in my opinion. And there's horses that do have the ability to beat them on the day.
Excellent. All right. Look forward to the big race. And thanks for joining us today, Dean.
No worries. Thanks very much, Dave.
G'day, Nathan, and thanks for joining us again.
G'day, David. Good to be with you.
Yeah, just wanted to chat to you about the Golden Slipper, the race everyone's talking about. I know it's still relatively early in the week, so you haven't done all the work that you will do on the race, but at this stage, how do you see the race panning out in terms of the speed map?
In terms of the speed, it's quite interesting because there's, you know, both stables have a number of runners, and they've already forecast that Haptic is going to want to lead. that to me indicates they're going to want a solidly run race to suit their top pick, Exosphere. And Vancouver's the big query from gate 18. He's got a decision to make, and there's one of three options. You either jag straight back and ride for luck. You either try and slot in midfield in a spot three wide with cover and hope there's a three wide line in front of you, or you push the button and go and try and sit outside the lead, and you've got to do a bit of work earlier, and so be it. And my gut says that they'll go with option three there, just because everything the stable says about the horse and those connected seems to think, they just think it's a superior animal, and that style of, if they think that's the case, then they'll think the best way to ride it is to ride it like the good thing they think it is and just push the button and go. So I see good pace here no matter what happens.
At times you've advised certain jockeys and helped them with their race plans. Is that the way you'd go if you had the authority here? What would you actually recommend?
For them, I'd say push the button and go, yeah. I think riding for luck from there is dangerous. I think the two favourites, Vancouver and Exosphere, they look to have the class edge on the others, and there does look a bit of dead wood in the race, and probably not an ideal call to go back and ride for luck. So I'd be pushing the button and going, and unfortunately they've been dealt the draw that it is, and they just got to deal with it.
And what about Exosphere? You've been pretty keen on this one for a little while now. Do you think it's capable of, winning?
It's going to get things to suit now. It's going to get a perfect trail. It's going to have a genuinely run race, and geez, it just looks like it's still got gears we haven't seen yet. We've seen the best of Vancouver. Its figures are very good, and it goes good, but geez, I just think there's a bit of scope for it this year. It just strikes me as a horse still got more to give, and I do think they're two very good two-year-olds.
So you've got the bookmaking background and then the punting experience the last, say, 5 years. What do you think of the prices available right now? So just in broad terms, if Vancouver's around $3 and Exosphere's not much better than $4, do you think that's about right, or do you think they should be even closer together?
I think they should be slightly closer together, but I still think, Vancouver's... I haven't priced the race up yet, but I couldn't imagine either Vancouver too much shorter, longer than $3. It just seems there's a big gap to the rest of them.
So you mentioned that gap to the rest of them. So outside of those two, are there any that you are keen on?
Look, given the pace scenario, the one runner that might interest me is, or the two runners that sort of come from the same form line as Fireworks and Lake Geneva, but I do think they are a run below the others, and I do think something has to happen to the other two for one of them not to win the race.
Okay. And so if people are playing...
The horse that can improve off ratings and is provided they don't use it as a pure bunny is Haptic. It seems like it's got more to give in its races, and I think it's a horse with a bit of talent, but the forecast of saying they want to lead on that is just raises a few eyebrows for me.
And it's a question I asked of Dean as well. It's such a high-profile race and everyone gets excited, which is fair enough, but from a betting perspective... How enticing does this race look to you?
Oh, it doesn't look a great betting race at this stage. Hopefully a few people are on Exosphere at bigger odds. But, it doesn't look great at this stage. But, like I said, I haven't done the race properly, so...
No problems. It's given us a good overview, though. So thanks for joining us today. And, all the best for Saturday.
Thank you.
Thanks for tuning in to Betting 360. Get more in-depth analysis, tips, and that betting edge by heading over to championpicks.com.au, where you'll find a full transcript of this episode. If you like the show, share us with a fellow punter or drop by iTunes to leave us your thoughts. Betting 360, punting from all angles.